Okay, so we're on Daf and Vav tonight, Nazir 56a. Let me go over a little bit from the previous Gemaras to keep everybody all refreshed is what we did. If you turn back to Nun Dalet Amud Aleph 54a, five lines to the bottom of the Mishnah. I just went over the Mishnah. We did this Mishnah on Shabbos. We don't really need the whole Mishnah. I'll go through it quickly. It talks about different types of tumas that the Nazir is not Megaleach for. Different types of tumas not Megaleach for. And then among them it says, let me do two lines from the bottom. It says that we may sifro me gemaro. It says may sifro me gemaro. It's talking about when the nazir is a mitzora. So a mitzora sifro is he goes through a 7-day period when he's going to, when he's coming out of his mitzora period. That's may sifro, and then we may gemaro. That's when he's a mitzora muchlat, and he's definitely a mitzora. So al elu and a nazir migalea. So the Tan listed a whole bunch of cases, and according to those two cases with Sora, he doesn't do giluach with them. He says umaze b'shlishi b'shvi, but he has to get hazaa for day 3 and day 7. So that would not include the mitzora. That's not the mitzora. That's the other people. He says ve'eno soter to kodmim, but in all the cases it doesn't destroy the time before umarchil monem yad. The Korban Elo. He begins to count immediately after the Tahara process. So it means the basic idea we're learning when he's a Mitzora Muchlat, or he's going through the counting days afterwards. So his Nazirus is put like right, exactly right, on pause, like Yosef said. In other words, he has a certain number of days he did, those are banked. Then his Nazirus is put on pause. And then he goes through the Tahara process, he picks up the count again. And in the Korban Elo, he says it means no korban from the Zeris. He's got a korban from the Tzaras. Be'emet Amru, and Be'emet Amru, he said, means either halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, or it was halacha Pesuka. He may azava azav, he may haskeru shamitzora for Eil Olamo. That when the Nazir is a zav, or Nazir is a zava, but the key is he may haskeru shamitzora. Haskeru is at the beginning of his Tzaras, so he's the coin, he doesn't have all the simanim for Tzaras, if that's the case. So the coin quarantines him for a week or two to tease him out. So that you may have skerosh mitzora for il olano. So if he's a mitzora muskar, so the confinement sora, those days still count as part of his naziris. The other ones, otherwise, he's like on the back burner. He's like in suspended sort of animation with this naziris, and then he picks up afterwards. That's the mishnah we did on Shabbat. Any questions, comments, thoughts? What we did so far? Okay, now turn to Nun Hey Amud Aleph, five lines from the bottom, 56 to 55a, five lines from the bottom at two dots. Umar Chilmona, so Amar Rav Chista Lo Shanu El Benazirut Muete. So Rav Chista says again, we said that with if he becomes a Mitzora, so then he has to it's the time Saras not being counted, and then he gets Tahara, and then he picks up the count again. So he says. So where's Rav Chista? So the Gemara says, I'm Rav Chista, L'shanu b'nazir muetet. If it's a short-term zeros, like 30 days, then he gets interrupted. Aval b'nazirut meruba, if it's a long-term zeros, he says, mislak satnami salkin lay, the days count for him. So the idea here is, and we've had this before in the Gemara, he's got he needs at least a 30-day growth of hair to end up his zeros. Now, if he's got a short-term Nazirus, let's say 30 days is his whole Nazirus, and then let's say day 5 of his term, he becomes a Mitzora, and then until he gets out of the Saras, it's like 2 or 3 weeks later, even if it's a short-term situation. So in that case, he needs to have a 30-day growth. So he can't say the days that pass are going to count for him because he needs another 30 days growth. But if he's got like a Saras, a Nazirus, that's going to last a year, and then in the middle of the year, you know, he gets saras. So then, according to Rav Chista, he doesn't lose any time, and he keeps going. Okay, that's what we learned. Okay, now turn to Nehem and Bays. Okay, so now we're on page 110, 55b, Nehem and Bays. Okay, two lines to the bottom. So the Gemara is asking questions against Rav Chista, and they're going to slug up Rav Chista is basically what we're going to do today and say that Rav Chista is not correct and that none of the days count when he's a mitzora. Well, not this is mitzora. Okay. Now the first part is a little bit complicated, so we got to be patient, and we'll do the best we can what we got. Okay. So Mati Brami Barachama. So Rami Barachama asks a shaila from the following mission, which is coming up later on in Masechta. It's on Friday's stuff. Nazir she atami b'safek. He's a nazir, and then he's tami b'safek. He's not sure if he became a tamei mate. So he's caught in a difficult situation now. Then he's a nazir, and he may be a tamei mate. He's not sure he is or is not. If he's a tamei mate, then everything is disappeared. But otherwise, he's got to keep the naziras. And then umuchlak b'safek. In addition to which, he's not sure if he was a declared mitzora. So how could this be the case? So one shot that we have later on, or the article quoted the Yerushalmi says, let's say you had two nazirim came before a kohen, and they each had simanim, and the kohen declared one of them to be a mitzora mochlat and one not, and then afterwards the nagayim all cleared up, and then nobody remembered who was the mitzora mochlat. Even the kohen didn't remember which was which. So he's got a situation. So the nazir is a tamei b'safek. He's not sure if he's a tamei mate, and he's not sure if he's a mitzora mochlat. So he says, now the top line in Nevava Min Aleph, Okel b'kachim l'par shishim yom. So after 60 days, he'll be able to drink wine. We'll explain shortly. He says, u'metamin l'meitim l'par meyev eshim yom. And after 120 days, he'll be able to be metamin l'meitim, meaning he'll be out of his restrictions from being a nazir. Now, here's the issue. So let's say he's doing a 30-day, we'll start him off with a short-term nazirus, 30-day nazirus. So now day 15, assuming everything happens on the same day, he's not sure if he became a tamei mate, and he's not sure if he's a mitzora. So he can't, he's got to observe, he might not be either. So he's got to observe his term of nazirus till the end of the 30 days. At the end of the 30 days, now he's not clear where he's holding with this situation. He's got to go through the, he went through the Tara process because he might be a tamei mate. So if he was a tamei mate, so now the process may start again, but if he's a mitzora, so he has to observe. In other words, if he's tamei mate, he has to get a head shave. If he's a mitzora, he has to get a body shave. So he might still be a mitzora. So if he's a mitzora now, and the body shave can't double over for the head shave for the tamei mate. So if he's a mitzora, now he'll do the first body shave. So he does a body shave. Now at that point, he would normally wait 1 week and do another body shave. But he's not sure. Maybe he's not a mitzora. Maybe he was a tamei mate. Maybe the body shave will count for the shaving for the tamei mate. So he might be in another term of naziris that began already. So he's got to observe another 30 days before he can do his next body shave. Then after 30 days, he'll do another body shave, which could be his second body shave as a nazir, as a mitzora. So now at that point, though, he might still need to do, now again, assuming it's the mitzora ones that he did, so then he has to pick up afterwards to do he has to pick up another shave to be a tamei mate. But he might also have to, he might not be a tamei mate, in which case he would observe another 30 days right now, because we said that if it's with a short term and you get nazirus in the middle, you have to observe the 30 days for the 30. He needs 30 days growth to finish up the nazirus. So then he'll do another 30 days, and then he'll do another, but he might be a tamei mate, and then he'll do the head shave for the tamei mate. And then after another 30 days, which would be 120 days, at that point, he knows he's definitely not a nazir anymore after 120 days. Now, the Gemara later on is going to explain what to do with all the korbanot, and it's going to work out with the korbanot as well. But it comes out that with all the sfeikot, he can eat kachim. After 6 days, he can eat kachim because he's definitely not going to be tamei made anymore because it went through the Tara, the Hazar, Shlishi, and Shvi, and he'll know that he's not a mitzora anymore after 60 days, so he can eat kachim at that point in time. But until he can be sure that he's out of his term of Naziris, will take 120 days. The bottom line is, if you think of it over this way, he needs three shavings. He needs two body shaves, and he needs a head shaving, and each one has to be separated by at least 30 days. So that's the way it comes out, 120 days till he's in the clear. Let's just do a few more lines, and then we'll get through this. And this is the most difficult part tonight, and then we'll be okay, okay? So he says here on line three, B'tani Allah, we learn in the Braisa concerning this Mishnah, but Medvar Murim, when did we say the Lacha is, you know, 6 days and 120 days? The Nazirim went it. If it's a short-term Nazirus of 30 days, yeah, it's going to work out that way. About the Nazirut Bashana, but Lu Yatsur, he took an Eder to be a Nazir for 1 year. He says, Ochel B'Kachim L'Kar Shtei Shanim. So after 2 years, he'll be able to eat Kachim. He says, and then he'll be able to drink wine and be metametim after 4 years. So the 2 years and the 4 years are the same thing as the 60 days and the 120 days. Meaning, let's say at the beginning of his one term nazirus, he becomes a safek whether he was metametim or a safek if he's a mitzora. So he can't do anything for a year because maybe nothing is true. Maybe he's really a full fledged nazir. So he's got to observe all the restrictions for at least a year. Then after the year is over, he's not sure what his situation is. He might be a Tamei mate, in which case now the term starts over immediately, or he might be a Mitzora. So if it's a Mitzora, he's got to do one shave, and then he'll need another shave. So then he'll observe another year. And then he'll do one more year as a, you know, for the Tamei mate, And then do another head shave. And then we have one more year. So he says here like this. He says, L'achar b'shanim. Now line six. If you assume, as Rav Chista does, that if it's a long-term nazirus, the time that he's a mitzora can count, you know, comes off, in other words, can count in terms of his nazirus. And his nazirus was a year. So he should only need 3 years and 30 days, meaning once he goes through 3 years, 1 year he has to do because he doesn't know if he's anything. Then 1 year he's doing a body shave. He might be a mitzora. So then he wants to do another body shave, but maybe he's not a mitzora. So, but then he's doing his new term begins because maybe he's Tmei. Then he'll do another body shave after that year. This is now 2 years downrange. That might be the second body shave for the Mitzora, and then he's observing another year, and then after that, you're doing no more year because he maybe was Tamei Mate. Now, if though, the time when he's a Mitzora, that counts towards his Nazirus, so then after 3 years, he should only require 30 days to do the head shape. In other words, when he gets to the point where he's 3 years downrange, so the only thing that's on the table at that point is his possible Tamei Mate. And so if Rav Chis is correct, he should only have to wait another 30 days, because once he does a shave, he needs to wait 30 days growth to do another head shave, but he shouldn't have to do another year, because all the other time counted for him, according to Rav Chista, when it was a long-term nazirus. But the Tana of the Bryce doesn't say that way. That's a kasha against Rav Chista. Okay, let me pause here, get a breath, and now time for questions, comments, and thoughts.
Then
Yosef, go ahead.
I know that the body shave does not double over for the head shave on the Nazir, right. But right. Does the body shave in fact physically include a head shave?
Yes, it does.
So it includes the head.
Yeah.
Okay, so it has to grow back. He's got to do his Nazir, and then I got it.
Okay, what's up, Yosef?
120 days. 30 days, something. Sorry.
Again, let's go. He did 30 days because he might not be anything. He's got to keep his Naziris. After the 30 days conclude, he doesn't know where he's holding with the situation. So he's going to do a body shave because he might be a Mitzora, in which case he would do another body shave a week later, but he might not be a Mitzora and he might be a Tamei Mei. So if that's the case, then this next term began automatically at the end of the 30 days. And so then he can't do anything for those 30 days. And then after the 30 days, he's going to do another body shave because he might be Mitzora. And then if that's the case that he was Mitzora, then he needs, and then he has another term where maybe he was a Tamei Mate. Yeah, so that's where we're headed with the whole thing. So that he could do right away. He doesn't have to wait for that. That he could do immediately to become Tower. That he could do right away. Yeah. In other words, after 60, the key is, in other words, he has to be clear of the Nazirus to eat the Kanchim. He has to bring the Korban out of a Nazir to eat the Kanchim. And he'll be able to bring those Korban out, but he'll go through the sprinkling from Tamei Mate. That'll clear him. Right, that'll do. And then, but he's got to be clear that he's not a Metzora in order to eat Kanchim. So he'll do the first body shave. Then the next body shave he's going to wait another 30 days for. And then he'll do, so he did 30 days because maybe he was nothing. Then he's doing a body shave. Then he's doing, waiting 30 days because maybe this is the second term of the Naziris. Then he does another body shave. So now after 60 days, he's out of his Naziris and he's also cleared up from his tumor. He did the sprinkling, so he's good with that. All right? And he went to the mikvah as well. Okay? All right. I think we're good with this Gemara. That was the hardest part of the whole graph. Okay, now let's do the next piece of Gemara. And I think this is considerably easier. Line 8. Okay, everybody with me? So now the Gemara quotes a long brisa in which it is going to ask another question against Rav Chista. So Mativ Ravashi. Ravashi puts a kasha against Rav Chista. Again, Rav Chista says that if it's a long-term zeros, that it should count for the, it should count, he shouldn't lose any time. This is Mativ Ravashi. Now, this is a brisa. The brisa says, Ein li yimei tuma shein olu lo min aminyan. I only know if a Nazir is Tamei, when he's Tamei, those days don't count from his Naziris. Indeed, the Torah says he loses all the days, so they don't, certainly don't count for his Naziris. Yimei chiluto minayim. The Tana of the Brayse says, Yimei chiluto, that means when he's a Metzora Mukhlat, that he's a confirmed Metzora, he says, how do I know that those days also don't count for his Naziris? Bedinhu, so the Brayse says, it's logical that it does not count. When he's tamei, means it's tamei made, he takes a head shave and he brings a korban. He says, in other words, that's a korban of naziris. He says, when he's the mitzora muchlat, he does a body shave, not the same shave, who may be korban, and he brings a korban. So just like when he's tamei, those days don't count towards his naziris. It's just comparing, you know, A to B or B to A. In other words, if a Nazir is a Tamei Mate, those days don't count towards a minion. And what is Tamei Mate? He's Tamei, and it has followed by a shaving and a korban. It's really several korbanot. So too, Yimei Chiluto, even Sar Mukhlat, he's Tamei, and it's followed by a body shave and a korban. So also not from the minion. Then the price is low. No, maybe not this way. In Mamar to be made tuma to when he's tamei made, she came a vatal behind a kodrin. So tamei tuma, that destroys everything in the bank. It's not just when he's tamei, but all the days he did up till then are destroyed. Tomar be made chiluto, but be made chiluto when he's mitzor muklat, she ain't mavatel behind a kodrin. It's not mavatel the kodrin, the earlier days. Now, that's going to be the key line that we're going to make a diuk from, and we'll come back to it in another 20 lines. But that's the line that we need. So the Gemara says, "Amar kavachomerhu." So the Gemara says you could say it's a kavachomer, uma. So in other words, the Gemara shlugged up the analogy we had before. In other words, the analogy was if it's true b'mei tumato, it should be true b'mei chiluto because they're both equivalent. And then the Gemara says, "No, b'mei tuma is more chamor than b'mei chiluto because b'mei tuma." He, all his days go down the drain. But if he's Mesor Muklat, the previous days don't go down the drain. So it doesn't mean that the days don't count. So the Gemara says, Amar Kabakomerhu. So you could say it's a Kabakomer. Manazir Bekever, Saru Tiglachat Nazirut. He says, if a Nazir Bekever means a person once takes to be a Nazir in a cemetery, we've had this before. He says, Shisaru Tiglachat, his hair from ab initio, from the get go, is ready to be shaved off. He says, "Litzaglach and Azirut in Olin Lomin Aminyan." Those days don't count is for part of his nazirus. Yimei chiluto, when he's a mitzor muchlat, she'ein saru l'tiklach at nazirut. When he's a mitzor muchlat, his hair is not really to be shaved for his nazirus. It was nazirus because of the tzaras, but his hair is not really to be shaved because of nazirus. There's no din that the nazir has to shave his head when he's a mitzora. There's a din that the mitzora has to do a body shave, but not midin nazirus. All right. Yosef said he lost me, so let me go back. Okay. So again, we're five lines from the bottom. So the Gemara said that the Amar Kabachomer, who the Gemara says is a Kabachomer, Uman Nazir Bekever, the Nazir, a person who takes a vow to be a Nazir when he's in a cemetery, Suru Latiglachat Nazirut, from the get go, his hair is ruled to be shaved off. He's Tamei from the get go, so his hair is ruled to be shaved off. He says, so the days that pass by don't count for him for his nazirus. He says, Yemei Chilutao, when he's a mitzora muchlat, a confirmed mitzora, she'ain sarul tiklachat nazirut. There, his hair isn't really to be shaved midin nazirus when he's a mitzora, lo kol shekein. Certainly that the days should not count from the minyan. So the Gemara takes it that that's good proof. So now I only know that when he's mitzor muchlat, the days don't count from part of his naziris. Meisifro minayin. Meisifro is when he's going through the mitzora, is going through the tara process, and there's a point in time where he does a body shave, then he counts 7 days, and then he brings the bird and with the water and the whole zach that's mentioned at the beginning of parshas mitzora. So you may sifro minayin. How do I know that the 7 day period that also doesn't count? Bidinhu, and it's logical. Turn page on the top line on Nun Babum Beis. Bidinhu. Ma yimei chiluto ta'un tiglachat. If we compare the two together, we already said that when he's a mitzor muchlat, the time doesn't count towards his nazirus. But he does require a body shave. Afimei sifro, so too when it does count. He said, in other words, he goes through two body shaves. One body shave at the end of his, you know, the one body shave after when he's beginning the tara process, and one body shave after 7 days. Is afime sipro umay yimei chiluto in olonom and a minion. So just like yimei chiluto, those days don't count from minion. Afime sipro. Now the Gemara says yechol afime heskeiro kain. Now the Gemara says maybe when he's mitzor muskar. Is when he doesn't have all, when going into this process, he doesn't have all the simanim to establish him as a vadai mitzora. So the Kohen quarantines him for a week or two and see what develops. So yechol afime heskeiro kain. I might think when he's mitzora muskar, confined mitzora, that he also the days don't count towards his naziris. But I didn't know tain, and it's logical, chlut matami mishkav u'moshav, when he's a mitzora muchlat, he's Matami Mishkabu Moshav, the things that he sits on and that he lies on. And we've discussed this in the past. It means, you know, even if there's like 10 mattresses, it goes all the way down and becomes the same level as Tumazi. We may have Skero Matami Mishkabu Moshav. When he's a Mesor Muskar, he also has that Tuma. Im Lamadata, we may Chiluto, Shin Olinlo, and a minion. If you learn that when he's a Mesor Mukhlat, those days don't count towards his Naziris, Afmei Skero, and Olinlo, and a minion. Amar Blau, so the Bryce says no. Imamartib me chiluto, shkene chiluto, tu'un tiglacha, and we be korban. This Masor Muchlad, he's got the body shaved and he brings a korban, lafika chenolin. Tomar me haske ra'o, shane tu'un tiglacha, and we be korban. When he's Masor Muskar, there's no body shave with that, there's no korban connected with that. Lafika chialu dominion. So therefore, those should count. Mikan amru, me sifro, we may gemaro in olam and a minyan. So from here, Chazal teach us the days that he's counting, the 7 days at the end of the mitzora, that counts for, the, and that does not count. The may gemaro is like when he's mitzor muklat doesn't count. But you may zava skerush mitzora for ilololono. But when it's zava or zava, we didn't discuss that in this piece, or he's mitzor muskar, those do count. Now, we learned this long braisa, but the key from the braisa is just one line, which we're going to come back to now. Tani mihad lo imart me tuma kimavatel behen in a kodmin. So the Gemara mentioned before, we were trying to say that when he's mitzor muchlat, the days should not count, you know, towards his nazirus. So he said, the Gemara said, no, it's not an analogy. Lo amart be tumah shkim batel in a kodmin. Tumah is mevatel all the days he had before. Tomer mechiluto. So mechiluto, you know, we're not going to vacate the previous days. So the Gemara says, b'mai, what are we discussing? Ilema b'nazir mu'etet ha'ba'in and gidol se'ar. So if we're talking about a short-term nazirus, he's going to have to do more days. In other words, so he's going to have to do a period of time. In other words, if the whole nazirus is 30 days, and now he became like a mitzvah in the middle, and then he's going to do through body shave, so he's going to do another 30 days after the body shave. Elav b'nazir meruba. Are we not talking about a long-term nazirus? B'katani shein onelo min aminin. The Bryce ends up saying that the days don't count. The Bryce ends up concluding that the days don't count. Shein onelo min aminin. Let's go back. It says, let's go back. One sentence. Coleman, right. She says, Right. So the point is that the Gemara at the end of the whole Braisa learns that the that when he's a Nazir Mukhlat, so the days that he's a Nazir that doesn't count towards the zeros. And we established this that right now, what are we talking about? We're not talking about a short-term zeros, we're talking about a long-term zeros, and yet the days don't count. That's a kash against Rav Chista. So he says, one second, from here, we have another kash against Rav Chista. So the Gemara ends up concluding that Rav Chista is upgeschlacht. In other words, Rav Chista says if it's long-term zeros, so the time of his saras should count towards his zeros. But the Gemara says from this brisa, it doesn't sound that way at all. Okay, now it's time for questions, comments, and thoughts. All right, that was the most difficult part of the brisa of the today's da'a. Now, easier. Let's go slowly. Okay, the next piece of Gemara, Lin Vavim Beis, everybody with me, you in the Mishnah. Amar Reb Elezer, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua. So Reb Elezer, we know, Reb Elezer and Rabbi Yeshua are contemporaries, right? They're the two that took Rabbi Yochum Tzakai out of Yerushalayim. And when it says Rabbi Yeshua, it means Rabbi Yeshua ben Kanania. So I'm Reb Elezer, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua. So here, the Tana Reb Elezer quotes halacha in the name of the Tana Rabbi Yeshua. It says, Kol tuma min ameit, shenazir megaleach aleha. If it's a type of tuma from a dead person that causes the nazir to do giluach, and we learned earlier in the Dapim that there were types of tumat made that don't cause the nazir to be megaleach. Remember, like we had, you know, a quarter revius dam, and we had, you know, a quarter kavatzamot. And so he says here, kol tumah made shenazir megaleach aleha. It's a type of tumah that causes the nazir to be megaleach. Chayvin aleha biyat mikdash. That type of tumah will make you chayiv for entering the base of mikdash, the state of tumah. He says, kol tumah min amayit she'ein nazir megaleach aleha. If it's type of nazir, and if you went to the base of mikdash in a state of tuma, it's a chiyuv kari, right? He says we call tuma shmena meit she'ena nazir megaleach aleha. But if it's type of tuma shmena meit that wouldn't cause the nazir to be megaleach, ain chayiv aleha biyat mikdash. Shouldn't be chayiv for entering the base of mikdash. Amar Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said lo teizu kalam asheres. Rabbi Meir disagrees with that, and he says the type of tuma, in other words, if he's getting a type of tumah in a mate, and it's not enough for giluach, but that should not be of less severity than a dead sheretz. Let's say a person, it could be a nazir, touched a dead sheretz. So he touched a dead sheretz. Dead sheretz is an avatuma, so he would be chayav for entering the base of mikdash. So if he's coming, let's say, into contact with a quarter kavat samot or a revius dam, it shouldn't be less significant than touching a dead sheretz. So Mela, he disagrees that you're not chayav for bias mikdash. Okay, everybody.
Any
I don't know any tumah, but this tumah's made and tumah's sheretz for sure. Tumah's made and tumah's sheretz for sure. All right, let's take a look back on the Gemara now. In other words, according to Reb Lezer and the name of Reb Yeshua, you could be a type of tmei made, but it's not enough to cause you to deal with giluach and destroy your naziris. And it's not enough to be mechayiv you to be a smikdash. So the Tana Rameir says, I don't agree with that, because the fact that it's not as severe a tuma doesn't mean you're not chayiv to be a smikdash. As the raya is, that you see if a nazir would touch a dead sheretz, anybody would touch a dead sheretz, they're chayiv to be a smikdash. And the dead sheretz isn't so chamor, it's an abatuma, you know what I mean? But you're chayav to be a smikdash. So he says, in this case, I think you'd also be chayav to be a smikdash. All right, now let's take a look at the Gemara. So now the Gemara says, Reb Lezer Mishuva Reb Yeshua Gamar Lo. So the Gemara says, Reb Lezer learned this from the Tana Reb Yeshua, Bahamishum Reb Yeshua Bar Mamal Gamar Lo. But he learned it actually from a different Reb Yeshua Bar Mamal. He says, the Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Amar Reb Lezer, the Tana Reb Lezer said, Shalakti Lardaskia, and I don't know where Ardaski is, but when he went there, Matsati Rabbi Shuben Peterosh, I encountered another Rabbi Shur, Rabbi Shuben Peterosh, Yoshev Adan Lefnei Reb Meir, who is like learning, you know, arguing before the Tan Reb Meir, Bahalacha, called Tuma Menameid. Now, this Rabbi Shuben Peterosh was stating the halacha the way that we have Reb Lezer stating the halacha in our Mishnah. Are you okay at this point? Okay. Yosef wants me to go back. I'm going back. Okay, the Tanya. Okay, everybody with me? Okay, at the Eskers. Tanya, I'm a Reb Lezer. The Tana Reb Lezer says, remember, Reb Lezer in our Mishnah is the one who says that any tumah that causes the Nazir to do Giluach, he's chayav to be a smikdash. If he doesn't cause him to do Giluach, he's not chayav to be a smikdash. So the Tanya, I'm a Reb Lezer, Shalach Lardaskia, when I, Reb Lezer, traveled to Ardaskia, Matzati Reb Shuben Peterosh, I encountered Reb Shuben Peterosh, the Yoshev Adan Lefnei Reb Meir Bahalakha. He was busy, like, arguing before Meir Halakha. And he said, Reb Shuben Peterosh, he said the same thing that Reb Lezer says in our Mishnah. If it's something that causes the Nazir to be Luach, he's chayav because of entering the base of Mikdash. So Amar Lo, so Rameir hears this, and he says back to him, he says, one second, let me make sure I got this right. Yeah, right. So the same Rameir, said to Rabbi Shuman Peterosh, Amar Lo, Al Tizu Kala Misheretz. He says, this should not be more lenient than if the Nazir touches the dead sheretz. So the same argument we had in the Mishnah. Now, at this point, the Tana Reb Lezer weighs in. Amar Kilo, so I said to Rabbi Meir, Klumat Habaki, Rabbi Yeshua Bar Mamal. You know Rabbi Yeshua Bar Mamal. So we got a lot of Rabbi Yeshua's here. So in the Mishnah, we had Reb Lezer named Rabbi Yeshua as Rabbi Yeshua Ben Chananya. Then we had here with Reb Lezer with Rabbi Yeshua Bar Ben Peterosh. And now we have where Reb Lezer says to Rameir, who said to who? Wait, who's saying to who? Who says that? Oh, who says that? One second. Give me one second. Yeah, the article does say he's saying for Yeshua Ben Peterosh. All right. So he says here, so Amarti lo, so I said, he's got it to, what's in Rosh Hashanah? I don't think that makes so much sense. I don't think that makes sense. One second. No, look, one second. Look at the Rashi. Amarti lo, Rabbi Meir. Let me see what the Gimel is. One second. No, Rosh Shuvim Petarosh, right. So the Bach corrects it. All right, let's, we'll do what the article has it, okay? One second. Give me 1 second. All right. So Amarti lo, Pluma Tabaki, so I said, you know Rabbi Shubar Mamo, Amar Li Hain. He said, yeah. She says, Kach Amar Li Rabbi Shubar Mamo, Mishu Rabbi Shua, Chotum Amreisha Nazim Migaleach Leach, Chayabu Le Mishum Biat Mikdash, Chotum Amreisha Ein Nazim Migaleach, Ein Chayabu Le Mishum Biat Mikdash. So the only thing is, so he's really saying to him the same. So again, Rabbi Shubar Petarosh said the same thing. Yeah, and now he's saying, do you know Rabbi Shubar Mamal? So what he just wants to say, who said it? That's the whole thing. Give me one second. What was his purpose in saying to Rabbi Shua ben Petarosh? Because Rabbi Shua ben Petarosh, he agreed with that holding in halacha. The only purpose, the way he has it here, I got that. But the point is, though, in other words, Rabbi Shua ben Petarosh, his statement of halacha is the same as what Rabbi Lezer says. And what would be the purpose, though? He said, I'm a Reb Lezer. Why would he say to Rabbi Shimon Petarosh, do you know Shimon Bar Mamal? And he said A, B, and C, just to establish who's the one who said it, I suppose. But the way, you see, if it's Reb Meir, I thought he's saying, like the way the Lashon and the Rashi has it not corrected by the Bach, that he's saying to Reb Meir, do you know Rabbi Shimon Bar Mamal? Here's the halacha the other way. But he has here, so he says, let me go back again. So he says, he says, "Kach Amar Li Rabbi Shua Bar Mamal Mishum Rabbi Shua." That Rabbi Shua Bar Mamal says in Rabbi Shua, "Go to Menachem Shenazim Miglei Chaylo Mishum Biat Mikdash." Menachem Shenazim Miglei In Chaylo Mishum Biat Mikdash. Anyway, so the point being though that Reb Lezer, so in the Mishnah it says that Reb Lezer stated this halacha named Rabbi Yeshua, but it comes out that really Reb Lezer stated the halacha in the name of Rabbi Shua Bar Mamal, who said the name of Rabbi Yeshua. So in other words, so there's like three stages. Rabbi Yeshua is the Baal Mamra, then Rabbi Shubar Mamal is the one who, you know, is the middle person, and then Rabbi Lezer is after that. Yeah. So he says, so the Gemara said, did Rabbi Lezer really say the name of Rabbi Yeshua? He said he heard it from Yeshua, and he said Rabbi Shubar Mamal. So the Gemara says, Have you Mishum Rabbi Shubar Mamal Gam Yerlo? So he says, so Taki, right, he heard it from Rabbi Lezer, heard it from Rabbi Shubar Mamal. So Amru, so they said, Shmamina, from here one could deduce, Kol Shmaitha Dibd Amru Beitlata, then we have a Shmua, like the Halacha, that has like three people, A said it to B, B said it to C. He says, Kadmai Batra Yaminan, so you don't have to count the middle person. You can count the last person, which would be Rabbi Lezer, and the first one from Rabbi Yeshua. It's C.I. Lomina. We don't have to count the middle person. So in the Mishnah, it says, Amr Blazer Mishum, Rabbi Yeshua. And it says Mishum usually means that he didn't hear it directly from Rabbi Yeshua, or he means that he wasn't like his Talmud, but he didn't hear it directly. So the Gemara proves that he, Rabbi Blazer, really heard it from Yeshua Bar Mamal. But it comes out at the end that the Tana Mishnah only mentions it the other way. Let's look at the Tosfos on this. So Shmamina Milta B'damer B'Veiklata 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The fifth Tosfos, he says, Kadmai Batrai Amar Mitzi Lo Amar. So Hakinami Roshu Ben Chananya Amar Rabbi Shu ben Mamal, Rabbi Shu ben Mamal, Rabbi Lezer, the Rebbe Shesidir HaMishnah, Rebbe who organized the Mishnayot, his kiyur Rabbi Lezer Shea Akron. He mentioned Rabbi Lezer, who was the last, you know, of the Baal members. Rabbi Shu ben Hanani Shah Rishon, Rabbi Shu ben Mamal, Shum Sa'i Lo Chashla Haskiro. He didn't bother mentioning the middle stage. Now, one second. Let me do a little bit with this. You know what? Let me just do one more line, and then we'll come back to some things now. Okay, back in the Gemara, he says, last narrow line in the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Afanana Mitanina. She said, we learned the same way in the Mishnah Masechet Peah. Amar Nachama Lavlar, Nachum Lavlar, it's a scribe, said, Kachmuk Blani Mir Maisha, I have a so from Rabbi Maisha, like his name was Rabosha, and became the Asha, Shikibelmi Abba, who had a Masorah from the article said that it was a conversation he was having with the Nasi. He says, one second. Yeah. He was responding to Rabbi Gamliel HaZakein. So Abba be Reb Shimon, Rabbi Gamliel HaZakein's father. He says, Kachmikalim Masha, Shikibel me Abba, Shikibel me Nazugot, had a Masorah from the Zugot of the earliest Tanayim. They had a story from the Nabiim. Halachal Moshem Sinai, Zareya Shevet Bechardal, B'Shnai Moshoshim Mekomot. If a person plants dill or mustard in two or three places, Shnei Peah Mikol Echad B'Echad. If they have a separate peah from each little patch, but and there's a question about what the statement was. But the key is not the halacha. The key is V'Ilu Yoshu B'Kalib Lo Kachashiv. He didn't mention that if he's hearing it from the Nabiim. And then the Nabiya must have heard it from Kalev, who must have heard it from Yoshua, but he didn't mention Yoshua and Kalev, so Shema Mina. So from here you see, you don't have to mention everybody in the middle. Now, in other words, he left out part of the transmission when he was... Right, that should be the way it goes. Now the only thing you can say, so why did he mention everybody else in the middle? So it's showing that it's like meritorious to mention other people. We'll see in a minute. Now, he questioned me over here. He has a piece on this. This is from the Daf Digest.
He's saying that Kalev and Yoshua don't need the mention.
He left them out. In other words,
I know.
You know. We'll see in a minute. Wait for this Daf Digest. We'll see. Now, the okay. Now the Gemara states that when repeating a halacha that was handed down from teacher to student for several generations, one must attribute the source of the halacha to his teacher who taught him the halacha and to the sage from whom the halacha originated. One may not take credit for a halacha or a teaching that he heard from another, but must attribute it to its rightful source. The Gemara Masechet Megillah Daf Tet Vav and Avot Perek Vav Mishnah Vav elaborates on this principle, stating, Omer Dabar B'Shem Omer Omer B'Gu'ul B'Olam. One repeats something in the name of the person who told it to him, brings redemption to the world. The Gemara derives from this from the incident related in the Megillah, whereby Esther gave Mordecai the credit for uncovering Bigtan and Teresh's plot to assassinate Ahasuerus. Says about Tomer Selamelech Meshem Mordechai, that Esther tips off the king that people are plotting against him, but she says the name of Mordechai, and because she says the name of Mordechai, it ends up brings the gula for the whole Klal Yisrael. Esther's integrity precipitated the salvation of Klal Yisrael, which began with Ahasuerus rewarding Mordechai for saving his life. The Gemara in Yevamot and Tzadi Zion states another advantage of attributing the great Torah to its rightful source. When a person's Torah thoughts are repeated in his name posthumously, his lips move in his grave. In other words, the Rebbe's lips move in the grave, giving him pleasure to repeat his own Torah thoughts as though he were alive. The Gemara explains this is the meaning of David HaMelech's entreaty to live in two worlds. Agura ba'olcha olamim. I'll live in your tent, like in two worlds. He says, David aspired to have his Torah thoughts repeated posthumously so that he will continue living, so to speak, even after death, when his soul is in the next world. The Midrash Tanhuma, cited by the Magen Avraham, applies the Pasuk, Al Tizol Dal, do not rob a poor person, in Mishlei, to one who repeats someone else's Torah thoughts in his own name. This indicates that giving proper credit to the source of a Dvar Torah is not merely optional etiquette, but is a mandatory obligation, for the Pasuk likens one who fails to give proper credit to a thief. Indeed, the Shalah cites an opinion that robbing someone's Dvar Torah is even worse than robbing his money. The Gemara says that when repeating a halacha that was handed down from teacher to student for several generations, one must attribute the source of the halacha to his teacher who taught him the halacha and to the sage from whom the halacha originated, but the intermediate links in the chain of tradition need not be mentioned. The Tiferet Sion explains that one must mention his teacher for he must give credit to his source of his knowledge, one need not mention the teacher's source. Nevertheless, one should note the halacha's original source to impress upon the listeners the significance and authenticity of the halacha. The Be'er Moshe asserts that although our Gemara says that one is not obligated to mention the names of all the intermediate teachers, it is praiseworthy to do so. He bases this on the fact that we find the Gemara many times attributing a halacha many generations back to its original source. Moreover, he notes that Nachum HaLav Lar himself, from when the Gemara derives this very halacha, mentioned some of the intermediate teachers while omitting others, thus indicating that although the intermediate conveyors of halacha may be omitted, it is praiseworthy to mention all. Now, we've got another piece here, but I've got to finish up the Gemara. But what did you want to say, Fern?
No, did it sort of omit?
It helped. Okay, that's what we were saying. Okay, let me wrap up the daf, and then we'll try to finish the parak now. Okay, let's back in the Gemara on the third or fourth wide line on Nun Bavavesh, 56b. Manitin, I'm Rabbi Akiva, not to the name Reb Lezer. So Rabbi Akiva said, I argued before the time of Reb Lezer, mine etzim kisora shenim and tamay adam ba'ohel, you have a human bone the size of a barley seed, so we said it's not matami ba'ohel, but it's matami ma'akam masa. And if the nazir touches it, then he has to be megalea. So he says, so a quarter of a log of dam that is normally metame people, but ohel. In other words, people are tame, they have a tumas ohel from Rabbi's dam. So a nazir should certainly, if he touches or carries the Rabbi's dam, should become tame. That's what he's arguing. Now, that's what we said before, though. So Amar Li, Maza Akiva, Eindanin Kan Mikava Chomer. He says, what type of argument is this? We can't use a Kava Chomer in this situation. The words can explain why. So he says, Ushabati Yerseti Hadvarm of Rabbi Yeshua, when I, Rabbi Kiva, came back, and I mentioned this argument before the time of Rabbi Yeshua, Amarli Yafa Amarta, he said, Taka, you had a good Kava Chomer, Elakinam Ruhalacha, but since one of them is the Halacha Moshemi Sinai, I can't build a Kava Chomer from Halacha Moshemi Sinai. So we'll see in a minute. So turn to the Gemara now, and then Zion Amad Aleph. Rabbi Akiva went back to Rabbi Yeshua. He said, this is the Kava Chomer I argued before Reb Lezer, and Reb Lezer rejected it. This is, you got, it's a nice Kava Chomer, but since one of the elements of the Kava Chomer is a Lech Lech Shemi Sinai, you can't use it. We're going to see in a minute the Gemara is going to discuss it. Okay, now, Zion Amad Aleph, let's do the top line of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Yibailahu, the question was asked in the base Medrash, Etzem Kisora Halacha, Rabbi Adam Kava Chomer. Is it that Etzem Kisora is a Lachal Shemi Sinai and Rabbi Adam would be Kava Chomer? So in other words, Rabbi Adam, in other words, Etzem Kisora I know Halacha Shemi Sinai and Rabbi Adam not Halacha Shemi Sinai. But I see that Rabbi Adam is more Chamor than Etzem Kisora because Rabbi Adam is capable of being Mitami people Ohel, not everybody's Mitama Ohel, but it doesn't cause the Nazim Migaleach. But nevertheless, it has an added level of tumor more than the Etzem Kisora. So is that the way it goes? Being done in Kava Chomer Halacha, I can't build a Kava Chomer where the first leg of the Kava Chomer is Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Is that what he meant? That's possibility A. O Dilma, maybe what Reb Lezer meant was as follows. Revi Adam Halacha, that the Halacha Revi Adam, that Revi Adam is Metame Ba'ohel, maybe that's Halacha Moshe Mesinai, but Esem Kisora Kavachomer. Esem Kisora is not Halacha Moshe Mesinai, but it's going to form the basis of the Kavachomer, being done in Kavachomer, Me'alacha, and so I can't do it. So in other words, which element is Halacha Moshe Mesinai? Is it the Esem Kisora or is it Revi Adam? Either way, I have a Kavachomer here, but I can't judge it. So the Gemara says Tashma. So the Gemara says, come, we're going to bring a proof. Etzem Kisora Halacha. So it says, Etzem Kisora is a Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Revi Adam Kava Chomer. Revi Adam, I would be able to judge a Kava Chomer from it. Being done in Kava Chomer Halacha. I can't do a Kava Chomer when the first stage is a Halacha Moshe Mesinai. So that's what Reb Lezer was saying to Rabbi Akiva. All right. What's up?
why can't you use halacha mitorah miSinai as a basis for a kal vachomer?
Yeah, that's the rules of the road. I don't know what to tell you. That's the rules of the road. The all right, now. So, Revi Yisdam is definitely mitami a person for ohel. So he wants to say that if the question is if a nazir touches the Revi Yisdam, does that destroy his nazirus?
Yes.
So Rabbi Akiva wanted to say it should destroy his Naziris. It definitely seems to me, he's definitely Tameh, that's like we spoke about before, that sometimes his tumors are not destroying the Naziris. So Lechora, if a regular person touches the Revi Yisdam, he does become Tameh, I think. And if he's in the OL with the Revi Yisdam, he also becomes Tameh. But what about the Nazir? So he wanted to say that I see Etzim Kisora is only Tumas Magamasa, and that destroys the Naziris. So Revi Yisdam, it has a tumas ohel. It doesn't destroy naziris. Does not destroy naziris, but it should at least give tumas magamasa to destroy naziris. That was what he was arguing. All right. Okay. Now, all right. Let me just come back again for a little piece of this, and then that'll be it for tonight. Now, okay. The Chasam Sofer, they began saying things in the Bishem Omro. The Chasam Sofer notes that it was a recent innovation to give more than one name to a child. Oh, this is the different piece. One second. Okay, I'll do this piece, and if I have more time, I'll go back to the thing. So this piece is talking about how many Hebrew names people get. You get, is it like Chaim or Chaim Yankel? You know, you're right, that's it. So the Chasam Sofer notes that it was a recent innovation to give more than one name to a child. So the Chasam Sofer died in the 1830s, and he was saying this is like a recent thing. So it's like it's going back like 200 years ago. Right, 200 years ago would be the 1820s, right? Historically, people were given one name, and even Yaakov Avinu, who had two names, is then referred to by both names together. In all of Tanakh, Shas, and the writings of medieval Poskim, we rarely find people who had two names. The Note of Yehuda, in response to an inquiry by Rabbi Shaya Pick, also wrote that early generations did not give their children two names. Rabbi Shaya Pick asserted that Rabbi Lazar Kalir had more than one name, since he included in his signature the name Berebi. So he says Rav Lazar HaKalir Berebi. So you want to say, the Note of Yehuda rejected the proof. He said and declared that he does not recall any place in Shas that a Tana or a Mora had two first names. The only names that come close are Abba Shaul and Abba Yossi. The name Abba is a title of distinction rather than a name. Similarly, the term Berebi is not a name, but rather a title of distinction. So nobody's having two names. And the thing is, some Rishonim think that Rav Lazar HaKalir is a Tana, so we want to know what's going on. So the truth is, Aproxta the Anyam, question the assertions made by the Chasam Sofer and Rabbi Yehuda that we do not find Tanaim or Rayim with two names from our Gemara. So here, our Gemara relates to whether people have two names. The Gemara mentions the name Rabbi Yeshua ben Peterosh, and Tosfos explains that Peterosh was the name of his father. He says, where is it? He says, one second. All right, we're not taking this for now. 1 minute. All right. So he says here, this would then be an example of someone in the period of Tanaim with two names. The Divrei Yatziv rejects this proof. Perhaps the name Peter is not a name that stands by itself, nor is the name Rosh a name that stands by itself. As long when combined, they constitute a single name. Tosefta, in fact, combines the two names into one. It refers to them as Peter Rosh, Pei Tav Yud Reish Vav Shin. So Peter Rosh may not be two names, like one name. Furthermore, the name that is recorded in the commentary of the Rosh is Peter HaRosh, which would indicate HaRosh is not part of his name, but rather is a reference to the place where he comes from. Similar to Rav Lazar HaKalir, where HaKalir is not his name, but a reference to his place of origin. But it's interesting, Ha'ara, about the one name and the two names. You know, part of it, I don't know about, I mean, it's going back apparently like 200 years, but part of it is, and this is a whole question of halacha, that, you know, sometimes people want to name a child and they're kind of like splitting it. In other words, let's say, you know, the husband has a grandfather that passed away and the wife has a grandfather passed away. So let's say one's grandfather's name was Chaim, the other grandfather's name is David. So we'll call the son Chaim David after both grandfathers. So Alpi Kabbalah is like an neshama connected with each name. So when you call somebody Chaim David, that's a different, it's not Chaim, that's not David. In other words, the idea is the name is going to be like the neshama has like a type of gilgal, like with his child. But if I'm taking here and there, I'm permissioning everything together and it's not working out. In certain circles, they'd be mocking on this. Is it Sephardim what? They don't give two names. Okay. So, but among Ashkenazim, it's common to give two names. Okay, it's getting late, so I got to break this off. All right, let me just break off. Wait, stick around for everybody for one minute.